Welcome to episode 285 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. Today we wrap up our week-long study of the book of James. James 2 verses 17 to 20. So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? The Epistle of James is arguably one of the most misunderstood books of the Bible. In the Leipzig debates of 1519, Roman Catholic scholar Johann Eck used it to challenge Martin Luther's view of justification by faith alone, insisting that works needed to be added to the equation. Luther, in response, appears to deny the epistle's inspired authorship, mainly on the mistaken claim that it teaches justification by works. In the introduction to his 1522 German translation of the New Testament, Luther indicates his preference for books like John, 1 John, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, and 1 Peter, which reveal Christ and teach everything that is needful and blessed to know. His preface to the book of James is not as rosy. Luther calls it really an epistle of straw, because it has nothing of the nature of the gospel about it. Although Luther never removes it from the canon of scripture, he separates it from what he considers the core of the canon. Luther's emphasis on Paul's epistles, especially Romans and Galatians, and his rejection of James for anything more than devotional value, has influenced a large segment of Christian thinking through the centuries. Who was James anyway? Was he a legalist, combating Paul's idea of justification by faith, by teaching that justification is really by works? Or was he simply providing a slightly different perspective on the subject, similar to the several perspectives on the teachings of Jesus that we find in the Gospels? The answer is clearly the latter. Not all of the reformers shared Luther's low opinion of James. No less a luminary than Melanchthon, Luther's closest associate, believed that the writings of Paul and James were not in conflict. James wants believers to understand that there is more to faith than just hearing it. He really wants Christians to live out their faith for the glory of God. It is important to seek ways of putting our faith to work, and the work that we do is a reflection of the faith that lives within us. It may come as a surprise to some that James refers to believing and faith 19 times in this short letter, more than his references to works and justification combined. In fact, the importance of faith is stressed right at the beginning of the first chapter in connection with trials and asking for wisdom. The act of believing in itself is of little avail. True faith carries certain recognizable credentials. That is, true faith will be revealed in the life and character of the believer. For James, faith is no abstract proposition, but has effects in the real world. James offers numerous practical examples to illustrate his point. Faith endures in the midst of trials, calls on God for wisdom, bridles the tongue, sets aside wickedness, visits orphans and widows, and does not play favorites. He stresses that the life of faith is comprehensive, impacting every area of our lives and driving us to truly engage in the lives of other people in the world. While James recognizes that even believers stumble, he also knows that faith should not coexist with people who roll their eyes at the less fortunate, ignore the plight of others, or curse those with whom they interact. What things do you do on a daily basis that reveal the quality and reality of your faith? How can you show the reality of your faith even in the small things? James had a first-hand knowledge of Jesus. In fact, his epistle, of all the epistles, may very well be the earliest Christian writing in existence. And of all the epistles, reflects most closely the teachings of Jesus that we find in the Gospels. As in the parables of Jesus, imagery from agriculture and the world of finance are abundant. Other important themes are wisdom, prayer, and above all, yes, faith. James is unique in other ways too, thereby opening a window for us into some of the struggles that the earliest Christian congregations faced, with envy, jealousy, and worldliness finding its way into the midst of these first believers. There seems to have been societal and cultural pressures that pitted wealthier Christians against poor ones. We also see James attacking counterfeit forms of wisdom and faith. The epistle of James exudes confidence in the return of Jesus. It also provides crucial perspectives on the law, the judgment, and the second coming. Elijah is even presented as a model for us to emulate. In James 4, the writer addresses a community of believers who claim to be Christians but live and behave like unredeemed people of the world. They are self-centered, pleasure-seeking, self-indulgent, quarrelsome, spiritually unfaithful, and worldly. In a stern warning about the dangerous way they are currently living, James makes this curious, seemingly out-of-place statement about God. He gives more grace. Just before stating that God gives more grace, James rebukes his readers harshly. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. James points out that these Christians are deliberately choosing to rebel against God. The followers of Christ cannot be faithful to God and at the same time love the world. How can these rebellious Christians remedy their perilous condition? By humbling themselves before the Lord and receiving his grace. Whenever we stray from God, the only way to come clean is to humble ourselves, repent, and submit to the Lord. If you draw near to God, he comes near to us. He gives more grace. The letter of James is essentially a handbook on practical Christian living. That is, besides it being a book on theology, it also tells us how to live out the Christian life. Why is living out what we believe just as, if not more important than what we believe? Or is what we believe more important than how we live out that belief? James was the brother of Jesus. In other words, though Jesus was God himself, the creator of all that was made, he was also human, one of us, even to the point that he had siblings. How does this amazing concept help us to understand how the vast gap between heaven and a fallen world was bridged? What does it say to us, too, about the lengths that God goes in order to save fallen humanity? How does the humanity of Christ help us understand how we can have victory over sin? How does the humanity of Christ assure us that God understands the reality of our toils and struggles? This is no epistle of straw. It is a wake-up call for Christians to live what we proclaim to believe. Faith is foundational, and it is through faith that we are justified. However, faith without works is dead. Father, give us a strong faith, and may our lives reflect that faith. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.